Well, hi there, everybody. This is Pastor AJ. I want to say welcome to another podcast devotional this week. I hope you and your family continue to stay safe and sane as we navigate what I think is week 8 of quarantine stay-at-home orders here in Michigan. As we continue to navigate this strange season, we are looking at different habits that we can be developing to strengthen our relationship with God. So while your rhythms have been upended, while we're not able to be part of the church, this is an opportunity for us to really learn how to draw nearer to God independently or with your family. This is a chance for us to practice what it means to remain in the vine, to make our home in Christ, and in doing so, grow spiritually, even though we're not able to be in church or do many of the things that we'd like to be doing. And so if you were with us last week, we talked about listening for God's voice, how we can begin to develop ears to hear how He is leading us and guiding us during the week. And now today, I want to kind of flip that around and talk about a few principles that can guide us in prayer. This is a great follow-up to the passage that we looked at on Sunday, if you were with us. We read from Philippians 4, where Paul says, "Don't be anxious about anything, but in every circumstance, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." And so we're going to talk this morning about how we do that and what it means to bring our requests to God in a way that honors Him and leaves us open to His will. So what I want to do is look at three passages that are going to help us develop a good understanding of prayer. And then we'll kind of walk through a prayer exercise at the end where we practice bringing our requests or petitions to God. So the first passage I want to read comes from Matthew. This is in Matthew 7, and it's verses 7 through 12. "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be open. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, would give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask Him? So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you, for this sums up the law and the prophets." Now, there's a lot to unpack in this passage, but I think the main takeaway for us is the idea of God's willingness to answer prayer. Jesus tells the disciples that they should be asking, that they should be praying to God and bringing their requests and petitions before Him, because like a good father, He wants to provide for His children. Jesus says, "Which of you would give your kid a stone if he asks for bread?" And yet, I think sometimes we hold back from asking things of God because we're not sure that God is really all that interested in our lives, or we might think that what we're requesting is too small for Him to be concerned about. And so I think this passage is a good reminder of God's willingness to respond to us and to answer our prayers, no matter how big and impossible or how small and trivial they may seem. So when I think of this passage, I think about an incident that I had when I was in seminary. A friend of mine had to do some public speaking, and she was dealing with a head cold. And this was a pretty big conference that was being put on in part by the seminary. There was a lot of people in attendance. And, you know, she wasn't speaking for a long time, but it was obviously something that you'd want to make a good impression at. And so I remember her telling me that she felt conflicted about praying for help, praying that God would be able to help her get through this speech that she had to make. Because she said, you know, there's people who are starving all around the world. It seems like God has way bigger things to worry about than me and my speech. And I remember right away feeling like that was wrong, that even though there are very big needs and concerns around the world, and even though it's true that it's more important somebody is able to eat than it is that you're able to get through this speech, that doesn't mean that God doesn't care about her and what she's going through. This was part of her job. This was an important event, and it was a position where she was in front of a lot of people. So in the biggest scheme of things, is it the most important thing that's ever happened? No, of course not. But it's not black and white either, right? Like, it doesn't mean that God doesn't also care about her and care about what she's going through and want her to succeed. And so I think sometimes we need to be encouraged to bring requests to God, especially if they might seem like they're not such a big deal. I know that here in our church, many times I'll ask people if they want something added to the prayer line, and the first knee-jerk reaction is, well, you know, there's so many other people. There's people going through all kinds of other things or that seem worse off than me. You don't have to put me on there. People don't need to know, or they don't need to pray. And again, I think it's that same feeling that we think we're unworthy, or we think God's not willing to address this thing because it seems too small. And so I would encourage us to remember that God invites us to bring any and every circumstance into his presence, and that he is willing to address them. Doesn't mean we'll get the answer that we want, but he is willing to speak to us. He's willing to intervene in our lives. He loves us and he cares about us, no matter how big or how small our troubles might seem. So this is a good segue now into our second point. Not only is God willing to answer our prayers, not only does he receive us exactly as we are and work in our circumstances, no matter how difficult or simple they might seem to us, but God is powerful enough to do something. That no matter what we're going through or how desperate things might feel, God is big enough and strong enough to deal with it. God is Lord and King over the whole creation, and he is able to work in every situation and answer our prayers no matter what they might be. So to make that point, I want to read from Psalm 113. And since it's pretty short, I'm just going to read the whole thing. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, you his servants. Praise the name of the Lord. Let the name of the Lord be praised both now and forevermore. From the rising of the sun to the place where it sets, the name of the Lord is to be praised. The Lord is exalted over all the nations, his glory above the heavens. Who is like the Lord our God, the one who sits enthroned on high, who stoops down to look on the heavens and the earth? He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap. He seats them with the princes of his people. He settles the childless woman in her home as a happy mother of children. Praise the Lord. So again, the idea here is that God is able to do something about your circumstances, that when we pray, we should have confidence. We should believe that God is capable of resolving our troubles or giving us strength and endurance to keep going through them. And part of this is about remembering that the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is now at work in you. That because you have the Holy Spirit living and active inside of you, there is no limit to what God can do. There is no reason we should ever give up on a situation before God has really spoken or given us an answer. And so one of the things that I was thinking about is our tendency sometimes to act like we know how the story is going to end in a given situation. We might think, there's no way that person is ever going to change. We might think, there's no way I'll ever break this addiction. We might think, there's no way this relationship can be put back together. There's no way we'll ever see an end to this pandemic. But of course, all of that is false thinking, right? Because if we believe that God is who he says he is, if we believe he's Lord over the universe, if we believe that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is still at work in us today, then there's no reason to believe that something can't change. Struggles in the workplace. We should never really have a hard time with his boss, who frankly sounded very, very difficult. And most of the conversation, you know, I was listening to him and encouraging him and thinking, yeah, he's going to have to look for a new job. This sounds really tough. But then towards the end, I felt like God was kind of nudging me and saying, why are you so quick to give up on this? As his pastor, why can't you lead him to remember that I am at work in his life? And so in the end of the conversation, you know, I said, before we give up on this, maybe it would be good to spend some time just praying about it, praying that God would either help you change your own attitude or maybe help your boss to see things differently. Now, I'm not sure how that ended up, but I remember that experience because I remember feeling challenged myself, that I often will just assume I know the outcome or how something is supposed to go down, but God was saying to me, remember that I'm a God of redemption. Remember that I can be at work in this situation. Remember that I can fix it, even if it feels too big to be fixed. And so for all of us, I think there's an encouragement to pray with hope and with confidence, no matter what we're going through, because we believe that God is big enough and strong enough to be at work in that situation and to help bring some healing or some resolution, or at the very least, that His power will sustain us and that we don't need to give up until He tells us it's time to walk away. So all of this brings us to our last passage. This morning we want to remember that God is willing to answer our prayer. And we want to remember that God is able to do something about our circumstances. But ultimately, we also want to remember that prayer is about submitting to God's will being done. When we pray, there are often things that we want to happen or things that we think we need to receive. But in the end, we have to trust that God's will is better than ours. And in prayer, we come before God in a posture of submission, trusting that He is going to do what is right and good, even if we don't like it or totally understand it. So I want to share this passage from the book of Proverbs that might seem familiar to many of you. This comes from Proverbs 3, and I'm going to read verses 5 through 8. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to Him, and He will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. And so again, the idea here is that we want to be putting ourselves in a posture of submission. We want to acknowledge that God may see things differently than us, that because of His perspective and because of His kingdom vision, He might deny us something that we're hoping for. He might say, actually, that job wouldn't be good for you. Actually, that relationship wouldn't be the right thing for you. And sometimes we may not feel like our prayers are answered, and even though we don't understand why, we're being called to place our trust in God and trust that His will is right and good. This is, I think, one of the hardest parts of the whole Christian life, to be in this posture of submission. When we remember Jesus as He went to the cross, we remember the story of the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus prays, Father, if there's any other way, take this cup of suffering from me, yet not my will, but yours be done. In all of our prayers, this has to be the way that we end, that we would be able to say to God, in the end, this is up to you. I trust you. You are bigger and better than me, and I am placing my life in your hands. We trust that God is going to lead us and guide us according to His perfect will. And that means we have to resist that temptation to be wise in our own eyes or think that we know what is best. And we have to resist the spirit of entitlement, thinking that we deserve these things that we want or the outcome that we're hoping for. Ultimately, we place our lives before God and say, you do what you think is best. So as we've gone through these passages, it might be that you are thinking about something that you want to be praying for or have been praying for recently. It might be that there's some situation in your life where you need guidance. It might be somebody in your life who's struggling and you're really praying that they would see change. As we close our time together, I want to invite you to consider a few reflection questions. And this week, I want to challenge you to take one thing, one request, one situation, and consistently be praying about that this week. Maybe every day you want to just set aside a minute or two to pray about this one thing that you need to bring into God's presence. So as you think about that and how to do that, I want to offer a few reflection questions to guide you in your thought and prayer. So first, who is it that you're praying for? Is this something about you? Something about your family? Is this about a friend or a family member? Who is it that you see as being in need of God's grace? Second, identify, what am I asking for? What is it that I really want to see God do? Do I need clarity? Do I need a sense of encouragement and energy because I'm flagging in what I know I'm supposed to do? Do I need God to intervene? Do I need God to provide? Do I need God to bring healing and reconciliation into a relationship? Be clear in your mind about what it is that you're asking of God. Then the next question would be, what does the Bible say about this thing that you're asking for? Are you sure that based on what you know of Scripture, this thing that you want is in line with God's will, at least conceptually? Are you asking for something out of selfish motives? Are you asking for something because it would make your life easier and more convenient? Are you asking for your daily bread? Or are you asking for something that is more shaped by the American dream? How can you be sure that what you're asking of God is really even in line with His kingdom purposes in the first place? One of the only ways to know that is to compare what you're seeking after and what you're asking with God's will. We know that God wants to provide for His people and give them enough. We know that God wants to see relationships healed and reconciled. We know that God is interested in forgiveness. We know that God is interested in life change, breaking the cycle of addiction or dysfunction. There are many, many good things, but before we pray, I think we want to just be sure that what we're praying for is coming from a pure heart and that we're praying for something that's in line with God's will in the first place. And then lastly, the last reflection question would be, am I okay with any outcome? Is my relationship with God dependent on getting what I want, or do I have that posture of submission? Am I willing to say, as Jesus did, not my will, Lord, but yours be done? How can you and I develop that posture of putting our life into God's hands and trusting Him to lead us? Again, this can be really difficult when we don't understand why God is doing what He's doing or why He doesn't seem to be answering our prayer. But ultimately, all prayer is an opportunity to grow in our capacity to trust God, to develop a stronger relationship with Him by recognizing that our lives are not our own, but that we belong body and soul to our Lord Jesus Christ. And so I hope that you find this helpful this week. I hope that you are encouraged to pray and bring all of your requests before God, no matter how small or significant they might be. So as we go, let me offer a prayer for you that you would be able to experience God's presence in a meaningful way this week. Father, we bring these requests into your presence. We trust that you are willing to answer our prayer. We trust that you are a personal God who loves us and is invested in every aspect of our lives. And Father, we trust that you are a powerful God capable of bringing healing and change and redemption into the broken places. We trust that you are able to provide for us. We trust that you are wise enough to give us a sense of leading that is in line with your kingdom purposes. And Father, we trust that you are able to break any chain and help us overcome any circumstance, no matter how difficult it might be. But ultimately, Lord, we want to put these things into your hands and ask that you would lead us according to your perfect will. Show us how to walk in step with your Spirit. Help us to be in line with you and your desires for us. And help us to remember that our lives are not our own, but that we are living joyfully and prayerfully held in your hands today and tomorrow and forever. Give us your peace and answer our prayers in the way that you deem best. And it's in the name of the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit we pray. Amen. Well, friends, that's it for this week. I want to say thank you for listening. I want to say please continue to share our podcasts and our live streams and all that we're doing at South Granville. That helps us to continue to spread the word and, most importantly, get the gospel into people's ears who really need to hear it in this difficult time. If you have any questions about anything you've heard over the last several weeks, please feel free to reach out to me, PastorAJ@SouthGranvilleChurch.org. That's it for this week. We'll see you next time. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.